The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Navigating the road from military service back to civilian life can be difficult. Among the many challenges is finding a new career in the civilian sector. This week, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Joint Base San Antonio will host a career summit for active duty service members, Guard and Reserve veterans, and military spouses, aimed at providing the tools and best practices to transition smoothly into civilian life. The summit will feature networking opportunities, workshops, and town hall-style discussions. What are the biggest challenges and opportunities when it comes to transitioning into the civilian careers, and what local resources are available? And you can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this half hour with Colonel Samuel Feel. He is the 502nd Force Support Group Commander at Joint Base San Antonio. Also with us is Serafina de los Santos, Executive Director of the 502 Force Support Group and leader of the Service Member Transition Program at Joint Base San Antonio. Welcome both y'all to The Source.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, Colonel Feel, can you tell us about what... Why is this so difficult? Why is it really that big of a cultural shift, do you think, going out of the military into the private sector?
I think it's not necessarily difficult. It is trying to get the information out as soon as possible in getting our service members who are transitioning to take action with enough lead time. And so they are very dutiful and they are very involved in their jobs. And so when you talk about transitioning, it does take a certain level of pressure, or what we in the military would say command emphasis, to get those service members the necessary time to be engaged and prepare themselves for what they're going to do when they become civilians.
So they're occupied. Their minds are on their jobs, what they're doing right now in the military. And so for them to find extra space to think about all of the possibilities and pressures and opportunities that are a civilian, that's a new job in and of itself.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. And so right now, the way that our policies read is that a transitioning service member has 90 days before they actually exit the military or retire. 90 days in order for them to do the things that they need to do. But really, that process starts much further out. And so there's going to be a policy change here come October 1st with the implementation of NDAA 19, and that's going to move those 90 days to 365 days. I think overall, our transitioning service members don't realize the amount of information and the things that have to take place for them to actually transition and prepare for that transition into the next chapter of their lives. And really, I want to make sure that we capture the target audience for this segment here, is that we're looking at not only our transitioning service members, we're also looking at veterans, but also their spouses. And so there's a national push to do whatever we can in partnered with the organizations that we are partnered with to do the same thing for spouses that we're doing for our transitioning service members.
Serafina de los Santos, fortunately, the job market is in a way that there's a labor shortage. I would imagine that you'd have people banging down the doors looking for these individuals who are coming out of the military, highly skilled, highly focused, disciplined individuals. These are individuals who are going to be sought after, right?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, that's one of the, we offer the community and employers a very disciplined workforce and, you know, great work ethic. One of the things, though, that we want to also do is educate employers, especially here in Military City, USA, to understand our demographic that is leaving Joint Base San Antonio because, you know, not all military installations are the same, and our demographic is more white-collar, medical, IT-focused, administrative, and so that's also a something that we work with to educate the community on, but absolutely disciplined workforce.
Medical, IT, administrative, that's expertise that is in high demand right now. So are you trying to match the right people to the right jobs, or you make the right introductions? Is networking a big part of this, Colonel? Or Serafina?
Networking is absolutely critical for two reasons. One, so that a transitioning service member knows how to navigate in the corporate world or in the world where they now don't don a uniform and they feel more at ease.
It's a different kind of uniform.
Right. They feel more at ease in talking to employers and to, you know, their counterparts. So that's, I think, key is networking and learning about what they want to do in their new normal, and that's another reason why networking is so important.
But being able to present the skills that you have, I mean, I know that IT can be very persnickety about, you know, defining what you're certified to do. So if you have been certified in certain areas working in the military, are those going to automatically transfer into the civilian world, or do you have to recertify?
In some cases, you have to recertify, and we find that across the board. For example, if a transitioning service member says that they want to go into project management because they've been doing project management their entire careers, they have to stay, you know, relevant with the job market. So we encourage them to, for example, get their PMP in project management to ensure that they stay current on how that works. So we offer the career skills program at JBSA, where we allow transitioning service members within 180 days. To work with our community partners to work on those certifications so they can stay relevant and current on what's going on in the business world.
What about that resume? I mean, you don't build actually have a resume when you're in the military, right? Or is it a different kind of resume? How does that work?
Exactly. It's a different type of resume. And so that is one of the functions of our Military and Family Readiness Center on Fort Sam Houston, as well as the Air Force and Family Readiness Centers on Lackland and Randolph. And so the team there helps those service members transition. And that includes everything from that resume, which really in the military, it's military focused. But
they like military lingo?
Absolutely. And so it's particularly for our focuses, so we understand what we're looking for, and it captures a lot of the same data, but it's not, you would need a Rosetta Stone, you know, to take a look at it. Now, of course, there are many that understand that, but they have to modify that resume to what employers are looking for on the outside. And we partner with many organizations that provide, as Serafina mentioned, the certification and maybe the licensing for what skill sets those employers are looking for. And so that's a big part of our career skills program.
And building that resume, figuring out what that job was that you mastered while you were in the military, you've got to figure out, how do I put this in the right sort of terminology that is accessible to someone who runs a medical department or what have you. Is that right, Serafina?
Yes, it is. It's, you know, and translating, and that's a big challenge also because, you know, a service member may have done, you know, just yeoman's work while they were deployed.
And you also got to hype yourself up a little
right.
bit.
Right. But, you know, hyping yourself up doesn't always translate into getting a job because in some cases, employers are looking for, they can be overwhelmed by the resume of someone who has done a lot for our country. And so that can be overwhelming also.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. Did you transition from the military into a civilian career? How was that process? What are your suggestions? What tips do you have for others? We want to hear your story. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source takes a break. We'll be right back.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about hiring our military heroes. There is a career summit planned for Thursday and Friday, helping service members, veterans, military spouses. They are invited to network with companies and talk about how they can exit the military smoothly and find a robust, welcoming place in the civilian world. It's not as easy as you would think. There are some potholes along the way, but some expertise can smooth those out for everyone involved. This is good for everyone in our community, good for our military, good for our private sector. It's good for our community, and especially it's good for these service members who have served so well in our armed forces. If you've got a question or a comment to make, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Serafina De Los Santos, Executive Director of the 502 Force Support Group and your leader of this transition program at Joint Base San Antonio. What have you heard from previous people who have made this transition? I understand you did some survey work.
Yes, we are in partnership with the Bexar County and Workforce Solutions Alamo to start surveying our transitioning service members. And what we do with the survey is we educate the community on our demographic. But one of the things that jumped out at us is we were thinking, since we're more seasoned, over 45% of our transitioning service members are not retiring. What that means economically is that whereas a retiring service member has a pension for the rest of their lives, a service member that simply leaves the service with no retirement, then those are the folks that we're really trying to target to get them into good careers and that pay a living wage so that they can start their new career. So that's one of the things that has jumped out with us at the survey. We are on our second issue now, getting ready to publish that, but we give that to anyone in the community who wants it. It's available through Bexar County Workforce Solutions Alamo and through JBSA, but that's one of the lessons learned that we've seen in this.
All right, go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. David is on the line. David, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. This is a great topic, and I know Sam and Serafina, so glad to hear them talking about the program. The program on base is really good. I'm a retired Army officer, and the only thing I would say as advice and what I've done is I spent a lot of time well before my retirement trying to decide what I wanted to do in a broad sense as opposed to just looking for a job. A mistake a lot of guys make is they wait until the last minute and then they're rushing around trying to find a job and they haven't really decided the way they want to live their life, how much autonomy they want, and those sorts of things. So set some initial criteria and think broadly about the sector you want to go into before you ever start searching for a job. It seemed to work out for me so far.
All right, David, thank you for the call. Colonel Samuel Field, can you talk about, when people are leaving the military, it's generally because they've fulfilled their time limits and now they are want to enter a new phase in life? What does that look like?
Yes, and greatly appreciate the call, and it's great to have that kind of experience reinforce. One of the things we try to reinforce is that start as soon as you can, maybe even 24 months prior to your transition out of the military or your retirement. I think it's overwhelming the number of things that you really have to get involved with for that transition. And it's not a procrastination. It's just that everyone is so dedicated to what they do in the military to try to pull away from that and dedicate time to do something else. You almost have to commit them to do that. And so as military leaders, I have to set aside time, particularly for my seniors, because they want to stay doing their work until the very end. And you have to say, hey, it's time for you, whether it's a sergeant major or some of these senior officers, it's time for you guys to do this and dedicate them. So as leaders, we owe that to our service members on there, as well as their spouses, and let them accompany them to some of these engagements.
When you're going for a new job, you will have to have references, maybe even letters of recommendation. Is that difficult to get with if you're in the military, Serafina?
No, you mean from their last job as they're transitioning out?
Right.
No, not necessarily. But, you know, the credential that a transitioning service member carries just on the fact that they are retiring or leaving the military, a lot of times those calling back to their last supervisor is not the showstopper, because the fact that you're a transitioning service member or a veteran, that carries a lot of weight right there, and it's only yours to make better and to show what your mettle at when you leave the military. So, but the answer is it depends on the relationship with the transitioning service member and their last supervisor.
And but you can ask. There's nothing to prohibit anyone in the military from providing a letter of recommendation or acting as a reference. And so, what are people really looking for, Serafina? Are they is there a particular job set that's out there that the military has that's being in demand? You talked about IT before and medical. I would think that would just be, that would have a glide path to a good job.
Yes, and through our programs at JBSA and to our partnerships with the city and the employers, we try to, as I said earlier, educate the community on our demographics so that we can better partner and match the transitioning service member leaving the service. For example, if you're at Fort Hood, you have more of that skilled trade labor force there because, you have infantry and your combat arms, whereas here at Joint Base San Antonio, as I alluded to earlier, you have more of that IT, administrative, white collar. A lot of our folks leaving are instructors that are transitioning out of the military here or, through the 24th and 25th Air Force. So but we do try to match them to the employers. And it's getting better. Even Workforce Alamo now is seeing that and ensuring that when they provide free training to our transitioning service members, it's to those skill sets that we have.
Let's go to the phones again, 210-614-8980 with Kenneth. Hi, Kenneth. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I just want to share my personal story. When getting out of the military, I did suffer an injury. I was an electrician, and I was no longer able to perform that job. So when it came to transitioning out, I had to go through the process. But I was still asked to do things around the company and my place in the military. So it was a pretty difficult time, and I was out of state. So it was pretty difficult to try to look for a job and work on those things. And also, I wasn't trained in the career field that I was trying to transition to. I did go to school and get an education, but I'm still finding it difficult because I don't have any job experience trying to work in a new career field. So that's just my personal experience when it came to transitioning out.
Well, Kenneth, thank you for calling in. So it's not always going to be easy, but there is help available. And so, Colonel Field, I mean, how do we avoid the pitfalls of people? I guess there's false expectations or a lot of pressure, people not really understanding how things may work in the civilian world. You know, it can be tricky getting your foot in the door.
Right. And you're absolutely right. Transparency. And I think that one of the important factors of this is get in and talk to the counselors. So we have some wonderful counselors and a wonderful staff that coordinates with our transitioning service members, and they provide the scope of what's going to take place and what is available to them through our services. And Serafina and the team that we have on board now, they've done an absolutely wonderful job in partnering with many of the companies that are locally here to provide those types of services, but really branching out and looking at what that service member really wants to do, as the caller that just mentioned. And you may not be trained. The Army may, or the Air Force, or the Marine Corps, they may not have trained you for what you really want to do there on the outside. So you have options. We have the opportunity to help those transitioning service members do something differently. And for a lot of that, it takes training, it takes certification, it takes licensing. And so through our partnerships in that Career Skills Program, we facilitate and we assist them to transition into that career field that they want to pursue. And a lot of times it may be a vocation. And so if that's the case that they want to choose that, we can assist with that. And so I would recommend to any transitioning service members to visit your transitioning assistance program office and let your counselors know what you want to do and then let them see how they can help you out.
But going back to school, we do have campuses here in the San Antonio area that are specializing in helping military veterans and their spouses get into classrooms that or Serafina. So what does that look like?
Well, what we run is boot camp training, and what that means is that it's not necessarily through the colleges, but we do partner with Alamo Colleges because they're running some free through the Texas Workforce Commission. But boot camp in the sense that it's like 18 weeks, and you can, you know, get your certifications in for example, IT, or maybe you want to go to Law Enforcement Academy, or, you know, you can do fellowships. We've got partnerships with Microsoft. You don't necessarily have to do the semester type training that we're all kind of thinking of when we think of higher education. These are through our career skills program.
So they're accelerated.
Yes, they're accelerated. And we partner with, like, for example, Onward to Opportunity through Syracuse University offers over 100 certifications, anything from customer service to IT to HR to get current or project management. We partner with Accenture Federal, which is not only trains our transitioning service members in IT, but provides them jobs when they graduate. And Hiring Our Heroes, who is bringing the Career Summit, they run fellowship programs, and they have third-party partnerships with employers that they can send our transitioning service members through internships or job shadowing, and they learn about the corporate world through those programs. Going back to what Colonel Field said, our transition at JBSA, they only need to visit our transitioning service offices at Lackland Randolph or Fort Sam Houston to get all of this information.
And this career summit that you're having, you say there are workshops and networking opportunities. So tell me more. So where and when is this?
So it actually starts on Thursday, and first we have another partner, Centurion Military Alliance, that is doing the workshops at Randolph Brooks Credit Union from 8 to 5 or 1700, followed at Randolph Brooks Credit Union by the Hiring Our Heroes networking event from 1700 to 1900 or 5 to 7. And then on the 26th, that Friday, is the actual career summit, and that will be at Rackspace. And they are hosting, they are providing, lending us the venue so that we can allow veterans and spouses and transitioning service members to take advantage of this career summit, and that will be at Rackspace. And that is all on the link.
Sure, on you have for this entire program. What is online? How do we contact with that online?
So they can go to hiringourheroes.org /events. They can get all the details there, and they can register. But it's an all-day Friday, and, again, it's workshops, resume help, LinkedIn, headshots, et cetera. So it's the full gamut of preparing you to transition.
So there's a good reason why Rackspace would say, come to our facility and, you know, get in, because these people are in high demand. This is the military veterans that we have locally is a tremendous resource for San Antonio. And being able to capitalize on that is something that certainly our community is focused on trying to establish. We don't want all these great individuals to be hired away to Austin and other cities. We want to keep them in San Antonio, right?
Yeah, we want to make Military City USA destination for all transitioning service members across the nation.
And so, Colonel Field, do you have guys coming up to you, soldiers, airmen, asking you about what to do? Get advice?
They do. And again, a lot of times it becomes a personal decision for what is in their best interest and perhaps in their family's best interest. And so we share, information as best as we can, and we give them personal vignettes of what others have done, and it sometimes helps them frame their future, and it puts into context what is available for them. But last year, in fiscal year 18, we had just under 1,600 service members transition through our transition assistance program. And that is something that we look at. It's probably going to increase here over the very near future. And then, just as I mentioned, these policies that are changing are really putting the impetus on leaders and service members to start doing this as early as possible.
All right, Colonel Samuel Field, he is the 502 support, Force Support Group Commander at Joint Base San Antonio. Serafina De Los Santos is Executive Director of the Transition Program at Joint Base San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.